In our world, we've been so immersed in a distortion of God's plan for men and women sexually that many men don't even know what God's design is.
Thomas is a helicopter rescue pilot. He's had battles all his life. It was a battle to finish high school, a battle to finish college. He battled to get hired as a helicopter rescue pilot. And now he battles high winds, rainstorms, and seemingly every type of risk to save injured people. In Tom's 45 years, he's overcome every battle but one. The battle that rages in his mind. And the battle is with lust. Welcome to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm with Kent Darcy. I need to start this program with a warning. If you have children with you that can hear this, I would suggest that you have them go somewhere else, because we're going to be discussing the challenges men face with sexual temptation and purity. We won't get explicit, but this discussion will not be appropriate for young ears. As we continue our series on equipping God's men to be warriors for God, we must discuss one of the major vulnerabilities men have: lust. This issue affects every man listening, either directly or indirectly. So please stay with us here at Champions Arise.
Some say becoming a man is as simple as reaching a certain age. But at Champions Arise, we don't define manhood by a date on the calendar, but instead by one's personal choices of character and valor. Discover with us how to stand firm in the battle of life and allow Christ Jesus, the supreme model of manhood, to determine your motives and actions. Champions Arise is your program to succeed in what matters most. To learn more about Champions Arise, go to championsarise.org.
You know, Ken, I think Tom's battle with lust is a secret plague among men in the church.
Yeah, I would agree. And you said two key words there, secret and plague. You know, it's rarely admitted or discussed, even though the lust problem really is a plague. It's a common struggle for men. You know, I remember hearing a story about an older man in his 70s who was asked by a younger man, "What's it like to finally be at the stage in life where lust isn't a problem anymore?"
Pardon me.
And the older man responded, "I'll let you know when I get there."
Right.
You know, but this program isn't about putting men down. It's for helping them to become the men God wants them to be.
Kent, you know, this is such a broad topic. Where are we going to start?
Well, I think we need to start by looking at what God's ideal is. You know, in our world, we've been so immersed in a distortion of God's plan for men and women sexually that many men don't even know what God's design is. I've heard it said that when the FBI or CSIS or the ASIO train their agents to spot counterfeit money, they spend most all their time studying real bills. That way, when a fake bill turns up, they recognize it immediately.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and it certainly makes sense.
Yeah, and the same applies to sexual purity. So I want to start our conversation by telling our listeners about a couple that illustrates God's design for sex. Adam and Bev were both raised in Christian homes. They lived just a few miles apart and met at a church retreat when Adam was 18 and Bev was 16. They were immediately attracted to each other. Adam had never had such an intense interest in a girl before, and Bev was feeling emotions and excitement that she'd never had before. And 2 years after their first date, they were married. Now, they had stayed pure sexually during their courtship, and their wedding night was a little bit awkward, but during the next few days, they learned. Adam couldn't believe the beauty of his wife's body, and Bev was overwhelmed by the new emotions exploding inside her. She wanted to reveal herself to him and gave herself to him with complete abandonment.
For many men, that sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, God's plans are too good, but true. See, during their wedding night, a flood of God-designed hormones and endorphins were released in both of them. These chemicals were creating a God-designed glue, if you will, between Adam and Bev that brought a oneness of their souls. In God's plan, Adam and Bev would be bonded together for life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Adam and Bev led what many would call a sheltered life. In fact, about 10 years into their marriage and after four kids, Adam had a shocking experience. He was away on a business trip when another man showed him a pornographic picture, and Adam was repulsed.
Mm-hmm.
He had never seen a naked woman other than his wife.
Mm.
I mean, Adam believed that what he and his wife shared was something pure and beautiful. Anything else felt dirty.
He had never seen a picture of a naked woman?
No, never. I mean, in this world, that seems almost incomprehensible.
It does, yeah.
You know, but Adam had done it. And I might add that he and Bev were married for 72 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, Adam died when he was 92.
Mm.
And that God-designed glue was broken for the first time. And so was Bev's heart. She died 10 days after Adam.
Oh, boy, that is an amazing story.
Yeah, you know, and I share that for all of us, but particularly for the single men out there, to let them know that God's plan works. But here at Champions Arise, we know that there are many, many men whose stories didn't go like Adam and Bev.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now I'd like to tell you about a man that chose a different path.
But first, if you tuned in late, this is Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm with Kent Darcy. And today we're discussing sex and moral purity. And as I said earlier, if you have young children with you that can hear our discussion, you probably really want them to go into another room. Because though we aren't going to get explicit, this is a conversation for older teens and adult men. Okay, Kent, we're ready for the other story, I think.
Well, this story takes place about 50 years after the other one. This is Max's story. Now, Max's dad and mom divorced when he was 5 years old. His mom had to work full time, so he was left alone a lot. And when Max was 10, she remarried a man who also worked long hours. So Max mostly hung out with other boys from the neighborhood. Well, one day, Max found a hidden box of pornographic magazines in the garage.
Mm.
And he showed his friends, and together they laughed and enjoyed their new sense of manhood. And by the time Max was 16, he was already experimenting with girls in the neighborhood. One girl in particular, he pushed into having sex with him. And he never felt bad, because from the stories and pictures he had seen, he thought this was how women wanted to be treated.
Mm. You know, I think that's one of Satan's biggest deceptions. And for a young man to be thinking that way is just tragic.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in Max's case, he was 6'2", good-looking, and athletic. So when he was in college, I mean, the girls threw themselves at him. You know, he joined a fraternity where drinking and sex were the norm. But when he graduated and he wanted to settle down, his mind stayed in that same pit. Even after he married the most beautiful girl he'd ever known, he still looked at pornography on a daily basis and continued to have sex with other women. His first affair was shortly after the wedding.
Really?
Yeah. Now, after about 20 years, Max and his wife became Christians, but he finally sought help because he was still looking at pornography every day.
Oh, boy.
And his wife had just discovered his most recent affair with her best friend.
Oh. You know, Kent, I think that the only thing more depressing than that story is the fact that so many of the men who are listening to this can relate to it.
Yeah, yeah. But the good news is that they are listening to us.
Amen.
And my friend, I am here to encourage you. With God, all things are possible.
Amen, amen.
You know, we know that the story of Bev and Adam, it seems almost impossible to our single listeners and even to our married listeners, but it's not. But we have to take intentional steps to achieve biblical sexuality in our lives.
Okay, let's talk about them. What are those steps?
Okay, first, we have to accept that God's plan is better.
Don't we already know that as Christians and accept that?
No.
Uh-oh.
There are single men out there who don't believe that there's any harm in having sex now. You know,
okay,
they don't believe that God can meet their sexual needs in a safe and healthy way until marriage. And they falsely believe that once they get married, they will be able to limit their sexual appetite to their wife.
Mm.
But as we saw with Max, that is often not true, even among Christians. Now, I remember hearing someone teach that when lust takes over, God becomes unreal.
Ouch. But you know, that actually makes sense. I think it was a joke, but I read the statement that when you fall in love, your brain shuts down all the endorphins that relate to common sense.
That's true. I mean, that's good. And whether it's a joke or not, you know, I think there's a lot of truth in that saying. But lust acts the same way. That's why married men need to understand this too. Anything other than sexual intimacy with our wife is outside of God's plan. But when we allow lust to take over, it shuts down our connection to God and we sin. Listen to what Proverbs 5 says, starting in verse 15. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets, having sex with just anyone? And I think, Foster, it's safe to add here that includes virtual lust or virtual sex on the computer.
Yes.
Okay. Now, verse 17 continues, you should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Verse 20, why be captivated by an immoral woman or fondle the breasts of a promiscuous woman? And again, I would add, or lust over a woman's nakedness in a magazine or a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 21, for the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. How many men do we know that this applies to? One may be in the mirror. And that brings us to the next step toward biblical sexuality. Admit that your lust or sexual promiscuity is a sin and that there are consequences for it.
You know, Kent, you said earlier that when lust takes over, God becomes unreal.
And
I would think that when God becomes unreal to us, Satan blinds us to the consequences of sin.
Satan might, but the Bible doesn't. I mean, read in Proverbs, he will die for lack of self-control. Malachi 2, verse 14 says, you cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young, but you have been unfaithful to her, though she remains your faithful partner, the wife of your marriage vows. Foster, God takes lust very seriously.
Amen.
If we want to be a man of God that he knows we can be, the sexual immorality has to stop.
So we need to acknowledge that God's plan is best, and there are severe consequences for not following God's plan. So what else is there?
Well, we need to repent of our sexual sins. That means turn around and stop. Stop looking at women on the computer or in magazines, having sex with your girlfriend or having the affair. Stop. Next, get help to stop. Talk to a church leader. Get an accountability partner. Check out ministries that can help in this area on the Champions Arise website. And last, have your daily quiet times with God and memorize scriptures that deal with sexual purity, like Romans 6, verses 12 through 14. My friend, it sounds hard, because it is. But if you take these steps, you can do it. Do it for your Lord. Do it for your wife. Do it to stop your sins from going generationally through your sons, and do it for yourself.
Thanks, Kent, for that important challenge. And my friend, be encouraged by 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. Thank you for listening to Champions Arise, where men are equipped and strengthened to meet their God-given potential. Today we discuss the importance of living your sexual life based on biblical principles. This program is based on lesson number 9 in the book, Every Man a Warrior, Volume 3 by Lonnie Berger. His book has much more on this topic, and you can find out about his book at our website. This program and the programs on Quiet Times are there as well. Finally, if you need help in the area of sexual purity, there are ministry links at our website, which is championsarise.org. I'm Foster Brown with Kent Darcy. Thank you for listening to Champions Arise. May God mold you into the man he knows you can be.